My reading this morning is, I'm going to be doing some excerpts from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech. If you'll notice in the Jeremiah passage, it talked about dreams, not in a positive way. But Dr. Martin Luther King, when he did his speech, and there was a woman sitting behind him, I think it was Mahalia Jackson, who kept saying to him, "Martin, tell them about the dream." And she kept urging him, because that wasn't part of his speech. "Tell them about the dream, Martin." So he did. He said, "I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their heart. I have a dream today. I have a dream," he kept saying. "I have a dream." And his words rang into a huge crowd of people gathered there and stuck in their hearts and stuck in our heads. I saw a meme the other day on Facebook that said, "The tongue has no bones, but it is strong enough to break a heart. So be careful with your words." Yes, Dr. King said over and over, "I have a dream." Yet Jeremiah, in this long, long rant, and I'm sure you thought, "Oh, Lordy, that's a lot of Bible." That's a lot of Bible. But as I read it over and over, I thought, you know what? To get to the punchline, my word is like a hammer. You kind of needed to hear all of that bad news and people wandering away and God saying, "I'm going to gather you back, and my word will be like a hammer." And 53 years after the "I Have a Dream" speech was spoken, we all can hear the dream of his four little children playing and being judged by the content of their heart, their character, rather than the color of their skin. Kind of like Black Lives Matter. Words that resonate, that stick in our heart, and maybe we don't necessarily understand them, and maybe we can't own those words, but they stick. Words like a hammer. So his dream was not a dream of delusion. It wasn't a dream of bringing people away from what God wanted. But it was a dream spoken at a time when our nation was still very segregated. Here in the North, we didn't experience a lot of that, but I talk to people who live down south, people my age who say, "Yeah, I remember. I remember when people would get on the bus that weren't the same color as me, and they'd walk to the back of the bus because they were afraid to sit next to me. They didn't know how I'd respond." And I know nowadays, a woman with a hijab gets on a bus, and she doesn't know, "Are people going to let me sit next to them?" And if we could speak a word of welcome, a word of peace, "Hi, how was your day?" We not only fill her bucket, but we're swinging a hammer of love. We can't be silent. Like David saying, silence like a cancer grows. And it's our job, the people who sit in rooms like this on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights or Saturdays, it's our job to figure out what does our hammer say. Because Dr. King's dream wasn't a delusion. And he referenced God at the end. He said at the end of his speech, "Words of comfort and hope and healing. Let freedom ring from Stone Mountain in Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain in Tennessee. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And when this happens, we will allow freedom to ring from every village and hamlet, every state. And we will be able to speed up the day when all God's children, black and white, and I add brown and red, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, gays and straights and transgendered, will be able to join hands and say, free at last, because we're busy swinging a hammer of love. We're busy swinging gathering words, not scattering words. Not words of delusional dreamers and false prophets who have no intention, as Jeremiah said, of standing in God's counsel in order to see and hear God's word. Because if you're at all like me lately, a lot of times you want to plug your ears. The words of delusion that we're hearing, spewing from our television, we shake our heads in disbelief. We want to believe that this is temporary, that in a few months this is going to go away. But we should not sit idly by. We need to wield that hammer of love to strike against these delusional words of hatred. We need to speak words of hope and words of gathering. But sometimes we might like to think it's just words, just a bunch of letters strung together, a part of speech, a noun, an adverb, adjective. And for you teachers, you're listing off the other prepositions and injunctions or whatever those are. Test me later, because those noun and pronouns are about as much as I can get right now. But we know that words are powerful, that they can wound deeply. I invite you to take just a minute to remember some words that maybe changed your life. Maybe positive words, maybe words that crippled you. I invite you to take out your bulletin and take a look at this mishmash of words. Because believe me, there was rhyme or reason to putting that together. There are bits and pieces of famous quotes here. Can anybody pick out any one of those quotes that's on there? Fourscore, and that's Lincoln. What else is here? I have a dream. Never underestimate the power of a woman. There's only part of that there. I heard you laugh. A2 Brute. Words from a long time ago that we still go, oh yeah, I know what those words are from. Words are powerful. They can build up and they can tear down. They're like words like from the I Have a Dream speech that stick with us, that stick in our minds, but that also mold our souls. But I bet if we spent a moment sitting quietly, we also could think of words that haven't been so encouraging. Words maybe as we were growing up that were wounding, words that excluded you, words that were hurtful. Is anybody brave enough to share some of those words? Because sometimes by speaking them out loud, they lose their power. When I was growing up, I was the youngest of three girls, and my oldest sister, until about 3 years ago, called me Dumb Nell. Dumb Nell. I grew up thinking I wasn't very smart, till I finally said to her, stop. Stop saying that. It's not true. And you're hurting me. But for more than 50 years, those words were like a hammer to my heart. And I'm sure each one of you has a story like that. We need to speak truth against those kind of words. We need to speak words like, good job, that's a great idea. Wow, what a nice smile. Thanks for sharing that with me today. You can do this. I believe in you. I love you. According to a Nobel Prize winning scientist, Daniel Kahneman, every day we experience about 20,000 moments. And he says a moment is defined as a few seconds of an experience, positive, negative, or neutral. And we register those all day long, ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. But rarely do we remember the neutral moments when things are just, yeah, okie-dokie. It's those negative moments and the positives that we remember. And it takes 5 positive comments to undo 1 negative. They did a test with a bunch of newlywed couples and watched them for 15 minutes speak to one another and then predicted their future success in their relationship. And the couples that spoke positive reinforcements to one another in that ratio of 5 to 1, 20 years later, were still happily together. And the couples that were negatively speaking to one another, their relationships had faltered. It matters. It matters. In a recent book for adults called How Full Is Your Bucket? Like the bucket one I read to the kids, it talks about how we all have a bucket. Now, of course, the pictures probably aren't as cute in this adult book. But there are 5 strategies in there, a lot like what I just read. Prevent bucket dipping. Increase your awareness of how often your own comments are positive or negative. Shine a light on what is right. Focus on people around you that maybe need improvement, but reinforce what they are doing right. Swing a hammer of positive reinforcement and love. Make good friends. People who have friends tend to receive more accolades because they're probably reflecting back to their friends as well. Thanks for being with me. Super, I love you. This is fun. Let's do it again. And reverse the golden rule. Instead of do unto others as you would have them do unto you, it should be do unto others as they would have you do unto them. So try to imagine, what might that other person need today? How might we all sit in God's counsel and form a hammer of loving words, building one another up? Because in Jeremiah, we are told God's desire is to raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them. They will not fear any longer. They will not be dismayed or missing. So how might we form words to align with that idea that we're all shepherds? We all ought to be wearing a shepherd's cloak, not just the person who stands in this sacred space every Sunday. We all need to ask, not what does my faith do for me, but what can I do in the name of my beliefs to foster positive love, hammer words? We need to strike a blow for love. The Roman poet Virgil wrote before the start of the first millennium, love conquers all things. Let us surrender to love. The phrase and the idea that love conquers all caught on. There was a character in Chaucer's Canterbury Tales who wore a brooch that in Latin said, Amor vincit omnia, love conquers all. Caravaggio later used that phrase to title one of his paintings about Cupid, with the arrow of love piercing people's hearts. And the 20th century poet Edgar Bowers reinterpreted that phrase over and over again. Love conquers all. Surrender to love. So many of us hold way too tightly to that armor protecting ourselves because we're afraid someone's going to swing a hammer of destructive words. So I invite you to put on a new armor every morning. Speak words of love to yourself. Look in the mirror if you have to and say, "You are beloved. I believe in you. You are filled with grace and beauty. You got this. You can be a shepherd." So now you've given yourself a bucket full to face the day. And maybe somebody's going to hurl words at you that are hurtful. But you say to yourself, if no one else is around, "I am beloved. I'm okay. I'm valued. I'm one of God's shepherds who's going to gather, not scatter." And then when you go out into your day, I invite you to speak bucket-filling words to your neighbors, your spouse, your annoying mother-in-law. But use hammer words. You are beloved. God desires that you no longer fear. God desires that you are no longer dismayed. Let us all strike a blow for love this week with a great big hammer. And may it be so.